Welcome to Zikhu Dav Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldhari, and today we're going Yuma Dav Tazayin, the first parak, Shivas Yami. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Huna said that the anonymous Tana who taught Maseches Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, based on the following Mishnah Midos that details the Ezra's Nashim in the base of Migdash. Ba'arba l'shakos hayu ba'arba mokso oseo, and four chambers were located in the four corners. What functions did they serve? The southeastern chamber was the Lishkas HaNazirim, where the Nazirim cooked their shlamim, cut the hair, and threw it under the cauldron where the shlamim were cooking. The northeastern chamber was the Lishkas Dir HaEitzim, for storing wood for the Mizbeach. The Kohanim Baalim Mum stood there and examined the wood for worms. The northwestern chamber was the Lishkas HaMetzorayim, where a Metzor would immerse himself in a mikvah before receiving the blood applications. Regarding the southwestern chamber, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov said, Shachakti Mahaisim Meshameshes, I forgot what function it served. Abba Shul said they used it to place wine and oil and called it Lishkas Beis Shamanya. Rashi explains that the Mishnah quoting Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov in the end of the Mishnah implies he was the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah. Point number two, the Gemara brings another proof that the anonymous Tana of Masechta Midos is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, based on a Mishnah there that states, Kol Ksalim Shayu Sham Hayu Gvoin, all the walls that were there, enclosing Har Abayis and its structures, were very tall, Chutz Mekos Mizrachi, except for the eastern wall. Shakon HaSorif is a Par Omid Bahar Mishcha, so that the Kohen who burned the Par Duma could stand on Har Zesim, which is east of Har Abayis, Mechavin Meroa Kenega Pisco Shel Heichel, and aim and look towards the entrance of the Heichel B'Shas Hazas Adam, at the time of sprinkling the blood of the Par Duma. Now the Gemara deduces from a series of Mishnais that this must reflect the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the floor of the Heichel is 20 and a half amos higher than the floor of Har Abayis. Now, given that all the temple gates were 20 amos high, it would have been impossible for the Kohen burning the para to see the Heichel through the eastern gate. This is the reason that the eastern wall needed to be lower, so that the Kohen could look over it and see the Heichel. According to the Chachamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and held that the floor of the Heichel was 19 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis, there was no need to lower the eastern wall. And point number three, Rav Adabar Ava said that the anonymous Tanu who states the eastern wall is lower is Rabbi Yehuda, based on a Braisa, where Rav Yehuda said, HaMizbeach Memutzav HaOmed BeEmsa Azora, the Mizbeach stood precisely in the middle of the courtyard. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbeach obstructed the view of the Heichel for one looking through the eastern gate of Har Abayis, and this is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower than the others. The Gemara rejects this based on the fact that the anonymous Tana Midos teaches that the majority of the 62 Amos comprising the ramp and the Mizbeach were in the southern half of the Azara. We can conclude from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the anonymous Tana and not Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, the three points are number one. Rav Huna said that the anonymous Tana who taught Masechet Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, based on the following Mishnah Midos that details the Ezra's Nashim in the base of Migdash. Ba'arba shakos hayu ba'arba mokso oseo, and four chambers were located in the four corners. What functions did they serve? The southeastern chamber was the Lishkas HaNazirim, where the Nazirim cooked their shlamim, cut their hair, and threw it under the cauldron where the shlamim were cooking. The northeastern chamber was the Lishkas Dir HaEitzim, for storing wood for the Mizbeach. The Kohanim Baalei Mumin stood there and examined the wood for worms. The northwestern chamber was the Lishkas HaMetzorayim, where a Metzor would immerse himself in a mikveh before receiving the blood applications. And regarding the southwestern chamber, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Shachakti Mahaisim Meshameshes, I forgot what function it served. Abba Shaul said they used it to place wine and oil and called it Lishkas Beis Shamanya. Rashi explains that the Mishnah quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the end of the Mishnah implies he was the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah. Point number two, the Gemara brings another proof that the anonymous Tana of Masechta Midos is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, based on a Mishnah there that states, Kol Ksalim Sheyu Sham HaYegvoyim, all the walls that were there enclosing Har Abayis and its structures were very tall, Chutz Mekos HaMizrachi, except for the eastern wall. Shakon HaSorev is a Par HaOmed Bahar Mishcha, so that the Kohen who burned the Par Duma could stand on Har Zesim, which is east of Har Abayis, and aim and look towards the entrance of the Heichel at the time of sprinkling the blood of the Par Duma. The Gemara deduces from a series of Mishnayos that this must reflect the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the floor of the Heichel was 20 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis. So given that all the temple gates were 20 amos high, it would have been impossible for the Kohen burning the par to see the Heichel through the eastern gate. This is the reason that the eastern wall needed to be lower, so that the Kohen could look over it and see the Heichel. According to the Chachamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and held that the floor of the Heichel was 19 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis, there was no need to lower the eastern wall. And point number three, Rav Adabar Ava said that the anonymous Tana who states the eastern wall is lower is Rabbi Yehuda, based on a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda said, HaMizbeach Memutzav HaOmed BeEmsa Azara, the HaMizbeach stood precisely in the middle of the Azara. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbech obstructed the view of the Heichal for one looking through the eastern gate of Har Abayis, and this is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower than the others. The Gemara rejects this based on the fact that the anonymous Tana in Midos teaches that the majority of the 62 amos comprising the ramp and the Mizbech were in the southern half of the Azara. So we can conclude from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the anonymous Tana and not Rabbi Yehuda. All right, so now we go to our Simver Daf Tes Zayin, and our standard simon is toes. Toes, so here goes. The Kohen who's jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the Paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. That was not blocked by the Mizbeach. Once again, in slow motion. The Kohen who is jumping up on his tippy toes, that must be more on Daf Tes Zayin. The Kohen who's jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim, which reminds us, Rav Huna said the anonymous Tanu Tam Masechtas Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov based on the following Mishnah Midos that details the Ezra's Nashim in the base of Migdash, and the four chambers that were located in the four corners. The southeastern chamber was the Lishkas HaNazirim, the northeastern chamber was the Lishkas Dira Eitzim, the northwestern chamber was the Lishkas HaMutzarayim, and regarding the southwestern chamber, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, Shachachti Mahaisa Meshameshas, I forgot what function it served. Avashul said they used it to place wine and oil and called it Lishkas Beis Shemanya. So Rashi explains that the Mishnah quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov in the end of the Mishnah implies he was the anonymous Tana of the Mishnah. So the Kohen who was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the Paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. Which reminds the Gemara brings another proof that the anonymous Tana of Masechta Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov based on a Mishnah that states that all the walls that were there enclosing Har Abayis and its structures were very tall except for the eastern wall, so that the Kohen who burned the Paraduma could stand on Har Azazim, which is east of the Har Abayis, and aim and look towards the entrance of the Heichal at the time of sprinkling the blood of the Paraduma. The Gemara deduces from a serious Mishnah that this must reflect the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that the floor of the Heichal is 20 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis. Given that all the temple gates were 20 amos high, it would have been impossible for the Kohen burning the para to see the Heichal through the eastern gate. This is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower so that the Kohen could look over it and see the Heichal. According to the Chamim, who disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and held that the floor of the Heichal was 19 and a half amos higher than the Har Abayis, there was no need to lower the eastern wall. So the Kohen who was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the Paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. That was not blocked by the Mizbeach. Which reminds us, Rav Adar bar Abba said that the anonymous Tana who states the eastern wall is lower is Rabbi Yehuda based on a braisa where Rabbi Yehuda said that the Mizbeach stood precisely in the middle of the Azara. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mizbeach obstructed the view of the Heichal for one looking through the eastern gate of Har Abayis, and this is the reason the eastern wall needed to be lower than the others. But the Gemara rejects this based on the fact that the anonymous Tana in Midos teaches that the majority of the 62 amos comprising the ramp and the Mizbeach were in the southern half of the Azara. So we can conclude from here that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the anonymous Tana and not Rabbi Yehuda. So once again, the Kohen who was jumping up on his tippy toes between the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim was trying to see over the low eastern wall and watch the Kohen burning the Paraduma aim a sprinkling toward the Heichal. That was not blocked by the Mizbeach. All right, now it's time to go to our four Blabach Chazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the standard symbol Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers, that must be more on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers who are fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room, which reminds the Gemara brings about Chokas Hanayim whether houses in Yerushalayim can become Tameh from Tumat Tzaras based on the condition that Tumat Tzaras occurs Be'eretz Achuzaschem, the land of your inheritance. The Tanakama rules that they cannot because he holds Yerushalayim on Nishalka L'Shvatim. Yerushalayim was not apportioned among the Shvatim and is therefore not considered an inheritance. Rabbi Yehuda rules that houses in Yerushalayim can become Tameh as he holds that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. A price is brought to support Rabbi Yehuda that states, Maya Bechelko Sheyuda, which parts of the base of Mikdash were in the portion of Shev Yehuda, are Bayis, Loshakos, Azaros, and which parts were in the portion of Binyamin, the Ulam, the Heichal, and the base Kodesh Kodashim, and a strip of land which projected from the portion of Yehuda and entered in the portion of Binyamin, Uvahya Mizbeach Banu, and on it the Mizbeach was built, and Binyamin was pained by it each day because of his longing to absorb it into his territory. We see from here, though, that Yerushalayim was apportioned to the Shvatim. The Gemara then brings a price that supports the Tanakama. So the 12 brothers who were fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur with his linen belt, that it belonged to him, which reminds us. The Gemara says that while it's obvious that if a Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified the morning of Yom Kippur, before the Tamid Shel Shachar, the new Kohen Gadol is invested into his new position by bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar. But what is he invested into office with if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tame after the Tame Shel Shachar. So Rav Ada Bar Abba said Ba'avne with his pure linen belt, which was different than a Kohen Hedyot's belt, which was made of shatnez. Abai said, before proceeding to the Yom Kippur service, he dons the eight begadim, the Kohen Gadol, and turns part of the Tamid offering over on the fire of the Mizbeach with a fork to hasten its burning, and this act is considered an avoda. And Rav Papa said his performance of the Yom Kippur service, even without any other act, invests him with his office, since only a Kohen Gadol can do the avoda on Yom Kippur. So the 12 brothers who were fighting over who gets to put the model of the Mizbeach in their room were finally convinced by the oldest brother, who pretended to be a newly invested Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur with his linen belt that had belonged to him, that they didn't deserve it because their belts were made of shatnez. Which reminds us, when Ravin arrived from Eretz Yisrael, he said that everybody agrees that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur was made of pure linen, and the rest of the year his avnet was made of kohen. They disagree regarding the avnet of a Kohen Hedyot, both on the other days of the year and on Yom Kippur. For Rebbe says it was made of kohen. Well, Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Shimon says it was made of pure linen. Therefore, according to Rebbe, the four begadim that the Kohen Hedyot wore were essentially the same as those worn by the Kohen Gadol throughout the year, besides his four additional begadim. Daf Yud Gimel. So the standard symbol for Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. When the bar mitzvah boy, that must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. When the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshetel on the wings, which reminds us that when reviewed to state in the opening mission the basin should prepare a second wife for the Kohen Gadol, an event that the first one dies, the Chamin respond, im ken, ein lo davar so. If so, there's no end to the matter, meaning that if we must be concerned of the first wife's sudden death, then we would have to prepare for the possibility that the second wife might suddenly die as well. So the Gemara questions why the Chamin don't apply this objection to their own position that we need to prepare a second Kohen Gadol in the event that the first Kohen Gadol might become Tameh. They should need to prepare a substitute for a substitute, for it's likely that he might become Tameh too. The Gemara answers Kohen Gadol Zaris who a Kohen Gadol is conscientious to remain Tower, and therefore it's unlikely that a second Kohen Gadol will be needed. When the Gemara questions why then a substitute is required at all, if the Kohen is a Zaris, it answers, Kevin de Avdin and Sarah, Koshech de Mizdarif Tvei. Since we prepare a rival for him, we'll certainly be even more conscientious about not becoming Tameh and seeing his rival take over. So when the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshat on the wings, he decided to really impress the crowd with his pilpul on what a Kohen Gadol says to two wives prior to Yom Kippur, which reminds us. The Gemara questions Rebbe Yehuda's position that a second wife needs to be prepared for the Kohen Gadol in the event that the first one dies. Beso amrachmanav ahachla, beso, the Torah said, and he shall atone for himself and for his household, referring to his wife, whereas this woman, who's not yet married to him, is not considered his household. The Gemara continues that if, in fact, he married her before Yom Kippur, there'd be another problem, that the word beso implies that he has another wife and not two. So after rejecting numerous solutions, the Gemara finally arrives at an effective solution. He says to wife number two, this is your get on condition that wife number one does not die. He says, wife number one, this is your get on condition that I enter a beis knesses on Yom Kippur. If neither wife dies, wife number two was divorced all along since wife number one did not die. And he remains married to wife number one since her get was canceled because he didn't walk into a shul. If wife number two dies, she was divorced all along since the condition of her get that wife number one did not die was fulfilled. And he remains married to wife number one since her get was canceled as he did not walk into a shul. If wife number one dies, then wife number two's get is canceled since the condition was not fulfilled. If wife number one dies in Yom Kippur, then the Kohen Gadol, seeing that she's about to die, steps into a shul and validates her get so that she was divorced all along and he was only married to wife number two. So when the bar mitzvah boy saw his rival waiting to give his pshetel on the wings, he decided to really impress the crowd with his pilpul on what a Kohen Gadol says to two wives prior to Yom Kippur and why he continues to serve and won't come to eat if one of them dies. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brayse, a Kohen Gadol makriv onen ve'eino ocha. A Kohen Gadol brings karbanas while he's an onen, but he does not eat them. Rav Yehuda says, kol hayom, the entire day. After Rav's first interpretation of Rav Yehuda is rejected, he provides a second explanation. Omar she'eino ovid kol hayom gezer shema yocha. Rav Yehuda meant to say that the Kohen Gadol may not serve the entire day of his aninas because of a gezerah, lest he comes to eat of kadshim, which is forbidden. Rav clarifies that on Yom Kippur, Rav Yehuda would permit the Kohen Gadol to serve in the event that his wife dies, as he will not come to eat when no one else is eating. Daf Yadalit, so the similar Daf Yadalit is Yud, hand. So here goes. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands, that must be more on Daf Yadalit. The Kohen, who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing huzzah, was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled a tower person, making him Tameh. Which reminds the next mission taught that all 7 days of the Kohen Gadol is sequestered, he does the Avoda in order to make him proficient in the various aspects of the Avoda which were typically not assigned to him. Rav Chisa says Rav Kiva cannot be the Tana of the Mishnah, since he said, Tahor shenapu lav hazah timatu, a tower person upon whom fell a sprinkling of water containing the Parduma ashes, thereby becomes Tameh. Since we know that Hazah is done on the Kohen Gadol all 7 days, how would he be able to perform the Avoda during this time? The Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva's reasoning. The Pasuk could have stated, V'hiza ha-tohar alav. The Tower person shall sprinkle the purification waters upon him, and it'd be obvious that the person is Tame. Why did the Pasuk add the words Al HaTame upon the Tame? We can infer from here, Al HaTame Tower, Ba HaTower Tame. The Tower person becomes Tower, and the Tower person becomes Tame. The Rabban say it's a Kal V'chomer. If the Tame person becomes Tower, doesn't it follow the Tower person should remain Tahor? So the Kohen who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing Hazah was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled the Tahor person, making him Tameh, that he carried the Mechatas away for no reason, making himself Tameh. Which reminds the Gemara questions how Rabbi Akiva would respond to the Rabban's Kal V'chomer, and answers that he'd respond that with respect to the Kal V'chomer that Shlomo Melch stated, Amarti Echama V'hi Rechokam Imeni. I said I'd become wise, but alas, it's still beyond me. We see that even though the Kal V'chomer dictates that the Tahor person should remain Tahor, Shlomo Melch himself acknowledged the phenomena that he, in fact, becomes Tameh. According to the Rabban, what Shlomo Melch found beyond comprehension was the fact that the one who sprinkles the waters and the one upon whom the waters are sprinkled are both Tahor, whereas the one who touches the waters for purposes other than sprinkling becomes Tameh. When the Rabban challenged the fact that the Pasuk states that the Mazah, the one who sprinkles Shal Mirsa's garments, clearly indicating that he is Tameh, they answered that the word Mazah is referring to the one who carries the water for reasons other than sprinkling. The reason that he's referred to as the Mazah is to teach that he only becomes Tameh if he's carrying the minimum shear for Hazah. So the Kohen who took great pride in his skillful hands when it came to aiming and doing Hazah was so embarrassed when he accidentally sprinkled a Tahor person, making him Tameh, that he carried the Mechatas away for no reason, making himself Tameh, thereby losing his opportunity to burn the Ketores and prepare the menorah. Which reminds the Mishnah here that states that the Kohen Gadol burned the Ketores and lit the lamps during his 7 days of being sequestered, which implies that the Ketores was burned first, goes according to Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, whereas the Mishnah Tamid that teaches the Ketores is burnt after the preparation of the lamps reflects the opposing view of the Chachamim. Daf Tezvav. So the Simmer Daf Tezvav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. The Kohen who used a fruit bowl, that must be one Daf Tezvav. The Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, and threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a chatas, which reminds Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, changes the procedure of the Tamid, and says that after the Kohen throws the blood on the northeast corner, instead of then throwing it on the southwest corner, he comes to the southwest corner, he places the blood on the western wall of the Mizbech, and then, after rounding the corner, he places the blood on the southern wall. The Gemara asks why Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah requires two distinct applications of the blood, unlike any other Ola. And Rabbi Yochanan answers in the name of one of the members of Rabbi Yana's yeshiva that says in the Pasuk, in connection with the additional Kabbanah's Branosh Chodesh, Usir Izim Echor Chatis Lashem O Oz HaTamid Yaseh Nevisko, and one he-goat for a Chatis to Hashem, in addition to the Oz HaTamid, shall be made, and its wine libation. Now the Tamid is an Ola, yet in this Pasuk, the Torah states that the Kohen shall perform the procedure of a Chatis in connection with it. So how is this done? He performs one application, that's tantamount to two, by dashing the blood on the northeast corner, like an Ola, and then does separate applications on the southwest corner, like a Chatis. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood in the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall, and then the southern wall, like a Chatis, making sure to do them both on the lower half, which reminds the Gemara questions Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah's interpretation of the Zrikas Adam procedure for the Tamid. Let the Kohen place the first blood application, which is Achashi Hishtaim, one that is tantamount to two, below in the lower half of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Ola, in the manner prescribed for an Ola, and then place the next application, which is Shtaim Shen Shtaim, two that are in fact two, above on the upper part of the Mizbech, Kamaisa Chatas, in the manner prescribed for a Chatas. Why place the latter applications, which are supposed to resemble those of a Chatas, on the lower half of the Mizbech, in a manner inconsistent with the procedure of a Chatas? The Gemara answers, L'matzimu Dami Shechetz Nilamal V'chetz Nilamata. We don't find anywhere blood applications of which half are placed above and half are placed below. So the Kohen used a fruit bowl to administer dam of the Tamid on the Mizbeach, threw the blood on the northeast corner, and then placed blood on the western wall and then the southern wall, like a Chatas, making sure to do them both on the lower half and always turn to the right. Which reminds us, they were asked why the Kohen applied the blood to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach and then the southwest instead of the reverse order, and answers that it is said, Kol pina sha'taponet lo yihu ela derech yamin lo mizrach. All the turns that you make in the performing of the Avodah should only be to the right and to the east. Bereish b'ha'upag. And so it happens that the Kohen would encounter that corner, the northeast corner, first. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn? We never find blood applications where half the blood is placed above on the Mizbeach and half below. That's on Daf. Tezvav. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you know? The Reb Yudah holds the Mizbech was in the middle of the Azor, whereas Reb Elazar ben Yaakov holds it was primarily in the southern part. That's on Daf Tezayin. Good number three. Which stuff do we have a three-way machlokes regarding how the substitute Kohen Gadol is invested into office if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tameh after bringing the Tameh Shel Shachar? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good number four. Which stuff do you know? The Reb Shimon Ish HaMitzvah holds that regarding the Talmid, one places the dumb on the western wall and then on the southern wall, like a chatas. That's on Daf Tezvav. Good number five. Which stuff do you know? The Reb Huna said, the Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is the anonymous Tana of Masech the Midos based on a Mishnah that details the four chambers in the Ezra's Nashim. That's on Daf Tezayin. Good number six. Which stuff do you know? Kol Pino Shatapona Lo Yu El Derech Yamin Lo Mizrach. That's on Daf Tezvav. Good number seven. Which stuff do we learn? Having a second Kohen Gadol on the wings will make the Kohen Gadol even more of a Zariz. That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good number eight. Which stuff do we learn? The Rabbi Kiva holds that Hazah, an Atara person, makes him Tameh. That's on Daf Yud Dalet. Good number nine. Which stuff do we learn? The eastern wall of Har Bais had to be lowered so the Kohen burning the Paraduma could see the Eichel as he aimed towards it with the sprinkling. That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. And number 10, which stuff do you know when Mashiach comes after Rome overruns the entire world for 9 months? That's on Daf. Yud. Excellent. All right. That concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.